I'm really, really proud of Meredith and Carolyn, for making an effort to serve our community and our schools. It's a beautiful thing when young people have a vision to serve and are empowered to carry that out. You say amen to that. We need more of that in our church and in our community, don't we? We need more of that. So just want to encourage you to go by, and if they have any chocolate chip cookies left, please buy them or take them so that I don't eat them. Help me out by taking away all those sweets, and also help the school at Joe Cook. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a spot over by the welcoming encounter where you can donate school supplies, and that's what that money is going towards. So that's a really, really good thing. One more thing I want to make you aware of: immediately after services today, Charles and Brenda Campbell will go to M1. That's formerly the library class. Charles and Brenda have a passion inside of them to serve the folks who are currently in our retirement homes. And one of the things that they noticed was that communion hasn't been brought to them on Sundays in quite a while. And I think we take for granted that we get to take communion every week. And sometimes we feel imposed when communion goes too long. That's the point that we're at in our lives. And we need to realize that there are people who crave that experience, who crave to worship Jesus in that way, who aren't able to have that experience. And that's what Charles and Brenda are wanting to do. So if that's something that you feel passionate about, go meet with them in M1 immediately after services, and you guys can work together to bring that experience and that worship back to a people who sometimes feel forgotten. All of us know what it's like to feel forgotten. At some point in our life, we felt like that. And we do not want to participate in that feeling in anyone's lives, because every person is precious in Christ Jesus. Amen? So go and take part of that. Lastly, as you walk through the hall, today is back to school Sunday. Many people will be starting school this Monday. I know we've got some college students who won't be going until the end of the month. And I'm not sure when homeschool begins. That's just a mystery to me, and it's a miracle as well. But as you walk through the hall, you saw pictures of students, and you saw pictures of faculty up on that glass wall. And so we've been asking you to pray for them over the past couple of weeks, and we're going to leave those pictures up for another couple of weeks. And so I want to ask you, if you would, just stop by the Welcome Center, the Welcoming Counter. There's post-it notes just up there. You can write a note to one of those students or one of those members of faculty, and you can put that post-it note right on the back of those pictures. And if we fill up every single one of those pictures with post-it notes of prayer and blessings, what an encouragement, and what a great way to start off this academic year. What a wonderful way to bless our brothers and sisters as they enter into a missionary field, missionary opportunities in their classrooms. Because each and every day, and we'll come back to this, our students are interacting face-to-face with people who don't know Jesus, with people who are experiencing emotional and physical abuse, with people who are enduring poverty and loneliness. And they have the opportunity to reflect the personage of Jesus Christ in each and every one of those interactions. And we pray for our missionaries, and we need to pray for our students, and we need to pray for our teachers and our counselors and our bus drivers, so that they have the energy, strength, wisdom, and realization of the opportunities they're getting five, sometimes 6 days a week, for hours at a time. So let's bless our school faculty and our current students. Join me in prayer. God, we come before you, Lord, just to worship you. Father, you are wiser than us. Lord, you set seasons into motion. You hold this world, this universe together. Father, you seem fit to allow for a sacrifice to be made so that we could be reunited with you as Adam and Eve were united with you in the garden before the fall. We rejoice in that, and I pray that we would have joy in your grace, and that joy would be infectious, and people in our community would see it, Lord, that it would fuel our obedience, that it would fuel our sacrifice. God, we want to lift up today our students and our teachers and our school faculty. In a small homeschool, in a large public school, in a medium-sized private school, we give them all to you today as our thoughts turn towards them, and we ask that you would allow them to experience you in a marvelous way. Father, that in having experienced you, Father, that they could reflect you into the lives of other people. Lord God, I know that there are young people who are planning to start this year off as different people, Lord. And I know that over the next couple of weeks, they're going to face challenges and people are going to want them to be who they were at the end of the school year last year. And Father, you've called them to be something different. And they've made changes and commitments over this summer. And I pray that you would strengthen them through the power of your Spirit to be that person that you've called them to be. Father, there are teachers who were weary at the end of the school year last year who are excited about starting this year off right. And I pray that you would keep them from discouragement. Father, even in the face of adversity and challenge, empower and embolden them to speak up and reach out for you. And that your Son Jesus would be glorified in their lives. And that people would come to know you in a saving way. And that you would grow your kingdom through our schools. And I pray that you would convict us, those of us who are not currently in school right now, to lift them up in prayer as your missionaries as we go through this year. And pay attention and reach out and reach into those lives. We're grateful. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. So I put this picture of a Winnie the Pooh cartoon. I love it. Pooh is asking Piglet, you know, what day it is. Or Piglet's asking Pooh what day it is. And Pooh says it's, or excuse me, Piglet responds, I'm getting really confused here. I need to go back to school. Piglet's responding, it's today. And in Pooh fashion, he says, well, that's my favorite day. Have any of you ever forgotten what day it was? You've forgotten what day it was? I've forgotten what day it was. I was privileged on Thursday to go over to Joe Cook as they were having their in-service with a few of our members and bring some snacks and pray with folks over there. And it was just exciting to watch people just pour into this room and look at this big banquet table of food and fresh fruits and things that you guys provided, and their eyes light up and them get excited knowing that they're starting the school year off right. And I got to meet the new principal as she came in, and she just exclaimed, wow, I don't think I've experienced this before. I don't think I've had an experience like this from the community to the school before. And one of the ladies, who is a faculty member, looks up and she says, yeah, they spoil us. They absolutely spoil us. And I thought, what a huge compliment. What a huge compliment. What a testament to efforts that began around 3 years ago when Lindy Bartlett came to our church and said, why aren't we talking to people at Joe Cook? We should be in there. And he made efforts, and many of you joined him in that effort, and the effort continues, and the relationship continues through new school faculty into today. And then a lady walks up, and she says, man, I've been thinking all day that today's Monday. I keep having to remind myself that it's Thursday. And I thought, man, I feel you. I know exactly how that is. I've been so involved with life, that I have literally forgotten what day it was. Usually that's on a mission trip, or sometimes that's on a vacation when time isn't quite as important, right? You eat when the sun comes up or when you wake up, and you eat when the sun goes down, and the rest of the time you're laying around reading if you're like me, or you're doing something more active if you're like you, right? So you've experienced that where you've lost time, so to speak. What if time didn't matter and every day was your favorite day? What if it was just today, every day, and today had opportunities for you and you were able to take the opportunities of each day? I think about Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus when he says, let's make the most of every opportunity for the days are evil. I want to read to you the Message version of this section of Scripture. I feel like it explodes with great words. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 16. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on the things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffin. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step and use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. When your NIV or ESV version says the days are evil, what it means is not that the day in itself is bad. It just means that the day in itself, that this passage of time is not in harmony with the character of God. God's eternal. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So when it says the days are evil, these days are not in harmony with God. And because days are fleeting, and they're not eternal, and they don't last forever, we need to make the most out of every opportunity we get. And so we celebrate a new opportunity today as our young people go to work. How many of you are looking forward to your first job? And I'm talking to mostly young people in here. Any young people in here looking forward to your very first job? Anybody? Bruce is looking forward to his first job. A few of us. I couldn't wait for my first job. I thought, you know what? I'm going to be able to go to work. I'm going to be able to earn my own money. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. You know, and I'm going to love it. My very first job was working for AT&T. I got a job with AT&T installing phone systems and running wire at 16 years old. I was so young that they had to make a special ID to, convince people I was an employee of AT&T because I've always had a baby face. Maybe not so much anymore, but when I was 16, I looked 12, y'all. I looked like a 12-year-old walking into this place. So I was super excited about it. But you know what? I wish I would have realized I had a job before that. I had a job before my first job because when I thought about work, I thought about earning a monetary wage. I thought it's going to a place and it's working 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and hopefully into overtime. And if you're real lucky, you can work maybe 60 hours and get double time because that's what AT&T did for us. I started off at $6.10 an hour. And if I worked over 50 hours, I can make $12.20 an hour. And I was like, boom, baby, you know? And so I thought about that, but you know what I forgot? My time in my school was actually my first job. I had a job there. I had an opportunity. And it felt more like a burden than an opportunity. It felt more like a hardship than a blessing. And so for those of you looking forward to your first job, I just want to encourage you and say that you've already got one. And the job is manifold. It has many facets. It has many pieces that bring it together. So in one part, your job is to learn. It's to learn academically and grow in knowledge to figure out mathematics and understand the way language works and learn from history, because if we don't learn from history, history repeats, right? So that's one part of your job, and it's a real job. How many of you actually have to do, well, it's called home what? See what I mean? It's home work. And it's work, isn't it? And you hate bringing it home. And some of you lie about it. Shame on you. You say you don't have homework when you really do. I confess, I was one of those. I repent of that. But it's homework. And it produces a result in you if you take it seriously. And it gives you more opportunity if you take it seriously. But you've got another job. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you represent Jesus Christ. Not just in this church, but everywhere you go. And I'm not as concerned about you representing Columbus Church of Christ. I'm glad when you share that this is a loving place and a friendly place. I'm not as concerned about that as I am concerned about you representing Jesus Christ. Because we're not this church, we're His church. And we're called to represent Him well. In fact, the word is ambassadors, which means spokespeople. You are the spokesperson for Jesus Christ. And the way that you choose to do your homework, participate in your athletics, treat people at your school, tells other people about the character of Jesus Christ when you wear Him as your cloak. And teachers, man, I don't think any teacher or faculty member in this auditorium who wouldn't say that their job is very broad. There is no English teacher who just teaches English, and there is no coach who just coaches athletics, and there's no bus driver who only drives the bus. You got a job, and it's a difficult one because it reaches into the very lives and souls of the people that Jesus Christ called precious. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 gives us a list of the way that there's a time for every season, a time to mourn, and a time to rejoice, a time to work, a time to refrain from working. God set our world up as a world with seasons. And as we're entering into this new season, I think it is a call from God to not only take a breath and get ready, but make some changes in us. I love this formula. I stole it from Mark Batterson. He wrote a book called Whisper, and it's about learning to listen to God. But it says a change of pace plus a change of place equals a change in perspective. Some of you parents have children going to school for the first time this year. You don't know how good it's fixing to be for you. And how sad. It's a sad moment. But it's also a glad moment. And you're fixing to have a change of perspective. You may not change your physical place, but the place where you're at in life is changing. And the pace that you live in life is definitely changing. And this is an invitation. If you could view this, I might change this to say a change of pace plus a change of place is God's alarm clock. A change of pace and a change of place is God's alarm clock. How many of you used an alarm clock this morning? A lot of times, I don't need an alarm clock. I know when I want to wake up and my body just wakes up that way. I'm not a person who usually just oversleeps. I have a sense of time. Generally, I know y'all don't believe that because how long I preach sometimes, but I do generally have a good sense of time. And so I don't use an alarm clock. I usually wake up 1 minute, 2 minutes before it goes off, turn it off, and then get up. My wife uses an alarm clock every day, and she keeps it so quiet, I don't even hear it when she wakes up. And I think about that when I think about this. Some of us need very light alarms in our life, don't we? We don't need much. It can just be a little tap, little, hey, it's time to get up. wakey, wakey, right? And that's all we need. Others of us, and I'm not going to do it, but we need a drill sergeant in our face. And even at that, we'll cover up their mouth for 10 minutes, won't we? Boom! And just refuse. It's a battle to wake up. I think that's true for us spiritually. So some of us need bigger changes of pace and bigger changes of place. And I think that that's reflected in Scripture. If you think a little bit about the Old Testament, and you look at Abraham, what did God call Abraham to do? He called Abraham into a change of place and a change of pace. When you look at Moses, Moses had to have a change of place and a change of pace to have that interaction with the burning bush and actually hear God. Jonah, change of place, change of pace. Big time alarm clock for Jonah. Can we agree with that? That was a drill sergeant alarm, and there was no snooze button covering up being in the belly of a whale. Jesus knew this too, and I think we can agree that Jesus did not need a loud alarm clock. In fact, I believe that Jesus probably is the kind of guy who woke up before his alarm. But he made change of place, change of pace, a personal practice of his. Scripture tells us that he often withdrew to lonely places. And so as you're driving your children to school on Monday, after you drop them off, I want to invite you to use that change of place and that change of pace as a time of prayer. I want to ask you to turn off your radios and shut down your podcasts and spend your commute in prayer. Or as you let your child get on the bus and you sit at home with your cup of coffee, those of you who don't have a second child that needs you, take some time and let that change of place in your life and that change of pace in your life invite you into prayer. And students, as you're on the bus or in the car and you're going to school, I want to invite you to remember that this change has a purpose. And whether you want it to change you or not, you will be changed by this change that you're experiencing. Some of you are going to be given opportunities to do things that you've never had opportunities to do before. And some of those opportunities will be good, and some of those opportunities won't be in line with God's will for your life. And it's going to be up to you to be prepared for how you will interact with that opportunity and that change. And some of our teachers, you're going to have experiences this year that you've never had in your life. Maybe with a student, maybe with a parent, maybe with an administrator. And I want to invite you to allow this change of place and this change of pace to bring you to a place where you're more in tune with the Spirit of God in your life. Because this is a new season for us. And we're not a farming community anymore. I grew some, not cucumbers. What did I grow, Sarah? What? Zucchini. Thank you. I kept saying there were cucumbers all since the spring. I'm like, baby, I got some cucumbers coming. She's like, those are not cucumbers. Those are zucchini. And I'm like, same thing. And she said, no, they are not. They are not. You don't eat pickled zucchini, as far as I know. At least you can. We don't eat those in our house. But there's a season for planting, right? There's a season for planting. And I think there probably are a few things that you could put in the ground right now. But because we're not a farming community, we don't go by farming seasons as much anymore. Some of you, maybe you still do. But I think that this is true in life, just as it is true in farming. Both the farmers and the crops need to be watered. But the farmers and the crops need to be watered. I decided to mow the yard yesterday about 10 a.m. I thought, you know what, I need to get this done. I committed to myself I was going to get it done. I didn't feel awesome, but I got out there anyway. And I'm a push mower kind of guy because I'm too cheap to buy the riding lawnmower. So I'm push mowing the front yard. And it was blazing hot yesterday, was it not? Those of you who are out in, it was blazing hot. It was really, really hot. And so I got the front yard and I got into the backyard, and tell you what, Sarah came out with a jug of water for me, and I stopped mowing. And when I stopped mowing, I realized I was like in the midst of being about to have a heart attack. Like, it was, my heart was pounding. And my sweat was just pouring off my head. And I sat down and I was like, whoa, this is ridiculous. I should not feel this way. I need to eat better. You know, I need to do something. I need to run. I need to do something. But I think when we get caught up in this new place and this new pace, sometimes we forget that we still need water and we still need nourishment. So our students need nourishment. And guys, our faculty needs nourishment. And I want to challenge you to commit to 9 months of nourishment for our students and our faculty. Because both our farmers and our crops need to be watered. Not trying to limit you guys to crops. You're farming as you're growing because you have a mission from God. But remember that. And a lot of times we don't even realize how tired we are. And so I want to show you, this is a minute and 47 seconds, a video about a guy named Paul who had cerebral palsy, has cerebral palsy that affected the left side of his body and an interaction he had with his teacher.
When I first came to Holy Trinity High School, I didn't know anyone. Miss Budger was the first one to actually come talk to me, get to know me as a person and see what my goals and ambitions were.
When Paul came into my classroom, he had to have a special wheelchair and he needed supports for writing.
She was supportive in that she would provide me with any kind of assistance I need, but also motivate me to achieve anything I wanted to do.
I was so excited for him whenever he had achievements and he did so well. When he became class valedictorian, it was great to work with him. Hey!
Hey, how you been?
Oh, great. How are you?
Good. I haven't seen you in forever.
Oh, my goodness.
So good to see you.
So good to see you. Yeah. I hear you're at Muskrat Falls.
I am, yeah. Actually, I'm doing safety up there, so I've been up there now almost 2 years. Come on over, we'll have a chat.
Okay. Wow.
Just to catch up and things like that. I was actually digging through some more stuff at home, and look what I came across.
Oh, my goodness. That's your speech when you were valedictorian.
I just remember all the hours and different sit-downs we had just to go through different drafts.
Oh, yes, you did a great job.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's great.
I remember being in the audience that night and feeling very proud.
I'm not sure if you were aware, but I just want to say thank you for everything you've done. Definitely made a big impact on my life.
Yes.
And I really appreciate everything you've done. So this is actually a quote from my very point speech.
Wow.
So I just wanted you to have that as a token and just say thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Thank you and have a nice evening.
I'm very humbled that you said that I inspired you, and look at you today.
Absolutely.
I knew you would do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, Scripture tells us that in Paul's ministry, he says, Paul planted the seed and Apollos watered the seed, but God made it grow. And we can count on God to make things grow as he's counting on us to plant and water. God is counting on you to plant and water his seed. And I think about a young man with cerebral palsy who became valedictorian of his school and came back years later to his 10th grade teacher to give her a portion of his valedictorian speech. When I think about that scripture, and I think about the words that she said, I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. I know you can do it. I know you can go into your schools and represent Jesus Christ. I know that you can be the teacher that you've always wanted to be and be Jesus Christ to a young man or young woman who does not think that they can do it. And church, I know that you can hold up the arms of our teachers, faculty, and students. No matter how disabled you may feel in this moment or how wounded you may be as a follower of Jesus Christ, I know that you can do it. So So I just want to ask you to think about these four questions as we close. What in your life needs to change? And what will it take for this change to occur? As we enter into a new place and a new pace in our life, what in our life needs to change and what needs to happen for that change to occur? What needs to grow and how will I commit to its growth? How will I commit to participate in this growth? What or who do I need to invest in? And how and when will I invest in it? Make the most of every opportunity. What needs to be said? And will, or when will I commit to saying it? As we trust that God is both the Lord of the harvest and the Lord of rest. You know, he gave his people a couple of restful celebrations. One was Sabbath, and it was a day each week to fully rely on God. And he also gave them Jubilee. And it was a 50-year opportunity. Every 50 years, Jubilee came. And you know what happened when Jubilee came? Slaves were freed. And whoever had lost their land was returned to them. Because God was letting them know that you never lose what I gave you. You will never lose what I have given you. You can have it back. And there are some of us in this auditorium today who feel like we've lost our relationship with God to the point that he will not take us back. And I want to invite you to experience Jubilee today if that is the case. Come and repent, change your life, and allow God to grow in you. And some of us need to come to Jesus Christ and give our lives to him. And if that's where you're at today, we invite you to come and experience grace, the waters of baptism, the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us on the cross. For it is by grace we are saved, not by our good deeds. If you have a prayer need, we invite you to come forward as together we stand and we sing.